Good evening. Amen. Welcome to the Lord's house this evening for worship and praise as we continue to follow our Savior to the cross and we take a look at three little words. And tonight we hear Pilate's famous saying that is so relevant today. What is truth? Think about that. How relevant it is today. What is truth? May the Lord bless our worship this evening as we begin, and we please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. How I love your law. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers. How sweet are your words to my taste. Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Yet so often we have despised God's word and failed to gladly hear and learn it. For this and all our sins we bow before God and humbly ask for his forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me. God gave his word so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The scriptures testify about Jesus who lived a perfect life, died on the cross to pay for all, and rose again to assure. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
You
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, you never despise what you have made and always forgive those who turn to you. Create in us such new and contrite hearts that we may truly repent of our sins and obtain your full and gracious pardon. Passion lesson is the sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, part 3, Jesus before the Sanhedrin. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and elders of the people. Judas was leading them. Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas approached Jesus to kiss him and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" One of Jesus' companions, Simon Peter, reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus said to the crowd, the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. This has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." All the disciples deserted him and fled.
Thank you.
They brought Jesus first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest, that year. Then they took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law had assembled. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people. Peter entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. One of the servant girls of the high priest on duty at the door came by. When she saw Peter seated there in the firelight, warming himself, she looked closely at him and said, A little later, when the servant girl again saw him there, she said to those standing around, about an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow is with him, for he is a Galilean." Those standing there went up to Pilate and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside, broke down, and wept bitterly. When Jesus had said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. "Is that any way to answer the high priest?" he demanded.
"If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "speak out about it. But if I spoke the truth, why did you hit me?"
The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Finally, two came forward and declared,
"We heard you say, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. I will destroy this man-made temple, and in 3 days will build another, not made by man.'"
Yet even then, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." The high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look now, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?"
"He is worthy of death," they answered.
Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you?" The men who were guarding Jesus began to mock and to beat him and to say many other insulting things to him. Here ends our Passion reading. We respond together with a seasonal response. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. We sing hymn 115, He Stood Before the Court. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Our text for consideration this evening is printed out for you in your bulletin from John chapter 18, beginning at verse 33. Pilate then went back into the side of the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. This is God's Word. Dear Christian friends, have you ever shared a piece of information on the internet, on a social platform like Facebook, without carefully reading it first to see if it was actually true? You just saw it, you looked at the quick facts, and you thought, oh, this is great news, I got to share this, only to find out later by someone else, a good friend of yours or maybe your wife, likes to do that from time to time, that what you shared was completely false. And they cite a page like factcheck.org, Snopes.com, or truthorfiction.com. These three sites have been developed purely because there is so much false information out there on the internet or fake news. So much being shared today on the internet that's completely fake. And you have to check and you have to scour, you have to go through to make sure it's true before you share it. Sometimes it's liked so many times, and the picture looks so fancy and looks so perfect, the amount of likes makes it true even though it's completely not. Sadly, that's our world today, isn't it? Photoshop pictures, altering reality, making things look like something it's not. Breaking news written on a couch in a man cave. People making up stories to fit their biased views. What should we believe? What is true and what is fake? What is factual and what is false? Yeah, it wasn't any different in Rome. Pilate lived in a world with multiple groups claiming this and claiming that, a world of various religious views, different philosophies for life. Whatever you felt was right was right. Sound familiar? As a Roman governor, it was his responsibility to keep the peace amongst the people. He had to decipher between what is true and what is not. Who was telling the truth? The Sanhedrin or Jesus? What is this kingdom of truth that Jesus is referring to? Pilate was confused, and rightfully so. He had no idea why this man was brought to him. And so, Pilate naturally asked that question that resonates with us so prevalently today, right? What is truth? And this question goes far beyond this situation in Jerusalem. In fact, it comes from an emptiness, from fear, and from the doubts inside every single human being. Doubts that you and I wrestle with too, that try to cloud our hearts. So many are claiming to be right. In our weakness, we begin to doubt. And we find ourselves asking that same question as Pilate, what is truth? And as Christians, we struggle. Is this right? Am I following the right path? There's so many other paths out there. After all, eternity is awfully a long time, isn't it? That's a long time in coming. So often we cry out with the psalmist, right? How long, O Lord? When are you going to come and save us? And so this evening, right along with Pilate, we ask that question, what is truth? Now the whole trial of Jesus had nothing to do with anything he had done. Instead, he was standing there before the governor because of who he claimed to be. In John's gospel, we're told that he was almost stoned to death because he told the Jews, before Abraham was born, I am. Does that phrase sound familiar to you? God told Moses, when you go to the Israelites and they ask you who has sent you, say, I am the ever-present, the everlasting Lord. Jesus was claiming to be God. And because he was claiming to be God, this was blasphemy. And as a result, Jesus was brought to Caiaphas, the high priest, that year. And Caiaphas pointedly asked Jesus, are you in fact the Son of the Blessed One? Tell us. Jesus replied truthfully because that's all he could do. Yes, it is as you say. And the Jewish authorities had to present a different case to Pilate because he was a Roman official And this idea of claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be God, wouldn't really stick in Pilate's mind. And so they had to conjure up some other claim. And so they said he claimed to be the king. Well, naturally, then Pilate's ears would perk up, right? Who is this guy threatening my throne or Caesar's throne? Someone claiming to be king, to have power, have political clout? Now Pilate was listening. But then here comes this Jesus. With a humble demeanor, bound, bruised, quiet, peaceful. He couldn't believe it. And throughout the trial, he didn't say one thing. They were accusing him of so much, and yet he said nothing. You're a king? Really? This didn't fit the mold of a king. Who is this chump? This Jesus standing before me, Pilate. Now, Pilate and his accusers had one thing in common. Jesus wasn't who they expected him to be, and Jesus wasn't who they wanted him to be either. It would have been easier for Pilate if Jesus was simply a rebel. Then he could have killed Jesus, no questions asked. He could have killed him with a clear conscience, too. But if you remember, Pilate didn't have a clear conscience the whole time. They kept accusing, kept accusing, kept accusing. But to his mind, it didn't make sense. This wasn't worthy of death. And then his wife had that terrible dream, said, have nothing to do with this man. And Pilate was so conflicted. He should have done the right thing. Set Jesus free. But that's not what he did. As Romans are prone to do, he went against his conscience. And he made that pragmatic decision to have him crucified. Remember, he washed his hands symbolically and said, I wash my hands of this, even though he was making the decision. Now, as far as the Jews were concerned, they called for Jesus' death and Barabbas' release. And Barabbas was a known insurrectionist. He was the rebel. He rightfully should have died, and yet they called for his release. What a sad scene. An innocent man going to die, and the man who should have died being set free. Everything turned upside down. John's gospel opens with these words. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Think about it. A week earlier, these same people who were crying out, crucify him, were praising him at the top of their lungs, laying down palm branches, their own coats, in front of Jesus, saying, this is our king. But then they found out why he was there. It's not what they wanted. The people were looking for a political powerhouse to take on Caesar. Some were looking for him to be a priest king, to clean up the worship in the temple because it was so distorted. Remember, he's the one who turned over the money changers' temple or tables, right? He was a teacher of righteousness. He needs to tell those Pharisees how to do it right. But that's not who Jesus was. Today, people still want Jesus to be something else too, don't they? Some want Jesus to be a social reformer, the activist. After all, I mentioned earlier, he turned over the tables, right? He was trying to clean up the temple. That should be our Jesus today. People want Jesus to be a financial planner. Help me get my house in order, Jesus. And isn't it true, if I follow you, then you're going to bless me tenfold? Hey, that's what the Bible says. Is that the Jesus we want? Some people want Jesus to run the government. How many laws do we need to change when the gospel is what changes people's hearts? People want Jesus, someone who is in the name of love, never judges anyone's lifestyle or what they do in this life, even if it's contrary to God's word. Just let them be. That's love. Let them go. Let them be free, right? Many want him to be an influential teacher, a man who taught us how to be good and moral and upright citizens. The truth is, Jesus is still not what people want him to be. So you hear all these things, and this is the idea that people have out there, and you're left with that question, what is truth? You look around this world today, and everything is relative. If it's true for you, then that's all that matters. It's so hard to have a conversation with someone who believes that way. They will tell you, how can you say that they believe a false God when they believe it to be true? Because doesn't that matter? As long as you believe it and you're genuine about it, doesn't that make it true? Again, truth is all relative. That's what we're facing today. That's scary. Little did Pilate know that standing right in front of him was truth. Jesus shared nothing but the truth. He came down to share the very word of God. He came down to share the heart of God with you. He said in his high priestly prayer, when he was praying for his disciples, praying for the world, praying for you, he said, sanctify them by the truth. Make them holy. Your word is truth. And he went on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus also reminds us that regardless of what people believe or not, the fact is, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The Word, the Bible, is truth. Given to us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God gave it to us because Satan's main weapon has always been lies. Satan, you could call him the great deceiver, the great word twister, the great half-truth teller, the great photoshopper, the great fake news writer. This is how he fights. He fights dirty. He fills the world with lies. And he fills your heart and your mind, my heart, my mind with lies. But just as Jesus fought back in the wilderness with nothing more than the Word of God, so also the Spirit has given us this book, this Bible, filled with truth. He said, the truth will set you free. So what is the truth? The truth is this. Jesus of Nazareth is who he claims to be. Thank God for that. He told Pilate his kingdom was from a different place. His kingdom operates in a completely different way than the kingdom of the world. How often have you heard your pastors say, we live in two kingdoms? Right? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. His kingdom is the kingdom of truth. And we follow him and we follow truth. Truth. Jesus took on the very nature of a servant. He gave up heaven, came down to earth. Truth. He became man. He perfectly obeyed every single command the Father had given him faithfully, did everything that you and I couldn't do because the Father had set him out to do it, and he did it just for you. Truth, he poured out his blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins for all time. And you get to live in that forgiveness. You get to live in that grace. He did this because there are other truths. Truth. The wages of sin is death, and all have sinned. Truth. Jesus took our sins to the cross. He was rejected by people, forsaken by his Father, hung in agony on that cross. One of the most brutal and painful ways to die. Truth, you and I should have suffered for all eternity because of our guilt. Truth, he poured out his blood on that cross for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. You see, the truth is we don't need a financial planner or a social protester. Or just some nice guy who makes us feel good about ourselves. He does that because of the forgiveness he gives us and the wonderful peace that brings. You see, what we need is someone who rescues us from sin, death, and hell. Otherwise, we would be lost. So thank the Lord tonight that he was there in Pilate's hall. He stood there with the truth. Jesus, our Savior, who rescues us from God's coming wrath. The crowds would choose Barabbas, but Jesus would go to do what he came to do. Have you ever thought and pondered that for just a minute or two? What that did for Barabbas? The man who should have died? That perfect example right there. Jesus took his place. And he takes your place. And he takes mine. Pilate couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. Why were they choosing Barabbas over Jesus? These crowds rejected their king. The same one who walked and cried for Jerusalem. How often he wanted to gather them together like a hen gathers her chicks. They rejected him because they didn't want that kind of king. They didn't want that kind of Messiah. But with the eyes of faith God has so graciously given us, we see a king standing there in Pilate's hall, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we listen to him. We listen to the truth that he has come to set us free. That promise that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life, that is a promise that you have. That's a promise that you celebrate. That's a promise that keeps bringing you back together to be in God's house, to strengthen one another with that word, to strengthen yourself, to go out into the world and share that wonderful gospel message. That's the truth. Your Savior came to save you, and he died for you. Never take that for granted. That is the truth. Amen. Please stand. May that wonderful peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, so guard and keep your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with the thank offering.
Thank you.
pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
We close with hymn 111. I was installed last March 11th, and so the vacancy pastor, Pastor Johnston, got to preach here before I got to. So it was my pleasure to worship with you this evening. I'm at St. John in Vacaville. My name is Pastor Christopher Hoppe. It's a pleasure to be here this evening, and I hope God continues to bless your Easter season. Please pay attention to the Easter. Check the Easter bulletin and figure out when the dates are coming up, and what a wonderful time to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. I think that was the only announcement I was supposed to give, something along those lines. So, God's blessings to all of you, and I look forward to greeting you on your way out.